We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. Lot to discuss, Brian. Washington football team is not called on Deshaun. I get it. I don't think they can compete. If the Jets and the Dolphins are going to the end of the earth, they can't compete. We shall see. It's time to bring on.
But he say he hadn't heard anything. You never know.
You never know.
Contemplating.
Time to bring in our dear friend, Mr. Barstool Nate, Eric Nathan. Nate, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you? First and foremost, congrats to the new Poker King of DC, JP Finley.
Yeah,
amazing
man.
Accomplishment, my guy.
Thank you, buddy.
You know what? I'm surprised, though, Nate. He's not really, like walking around like a peacock. He's been very, humble. I can't believe it.
I'm generally very humble unless I'm drunk.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get a couple.
That means you're not normally humble.
Sorry, Nate. Go ahead. B-Mitch is just attacking me.
Babies. That's the JP I know. I know public JP. I don't know radio JP. Like, I like humble radio JP, but give him, a month. And you guys get that first ratings book, and you're top of the charts, then you'll see other JP.
Oh, my Lord.
Nate, how, as a real poker player like you are, Nate has played in the World Series of Poker, B. I don't know if you knew that. He's a real poker player. He has a poker podcast. And he knows my poker abilities pretty well. How shocked were you by that news?
I was very shocked, and that's not a slight to you. It's just, it's hard to win a poker tournament.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard, especially when you're drunk. And you accomplish both.
You know, I watch the World Series of Poker a lot, and you got the professionals playing against the amateur. Amateur get the cards, and they know how to bet a little bit. They win it.
Oh, yeah. That's what's so great about poker. You can be the best in the world, but any given day, an amateur can just get a good run of cards, play correctly, and make a big run. And you know, that's why we love JP. When I woke up to a text from JP, 7 a.m., I'm terrible at poker. So I didn't even bother, looking into it. And then I just hear on your show yesterday that he won the entire thing. And I'm like, wow, what a misdirection from JP there.
Yep.
I think it's amazing. I can't wait to go to Vegas and drink your alcohol and use your suite and gamble your money.
I'm cool with the first two. We'll see about the last one, but you never know, dude. Maybe things will get nuts. Speaking of nuts, I don't know if you heard our last guest, but we had John McClain on, who's a Houston legend reporter down there. He says Washington hasn't called on Deshaun Watson. The easy reaction is, oh, why not at least call and do due diligence? But if that trade is going where most expected to, Washington can't compete. What's your reaction?
I found it most interesting that he is set that it'll take three firsts, 2 seconds, and possibly a starter. And I just think with free agency and then the draft, and with it being such a good quarterback draft, I don't know if teams are going to pony up that much. I think Deshaun is incredible. I think he is franchise quarterback. I think if Washington got him, we would win the Super Bowl this coming up season, 100%. But three firsts, 2 seconds, and a starter is the biggest package I've ever heard of for a player who has never won a playoff game. So I don't know if – the Jets could very easily just go, you know what, Zach Wilson, we'll take him. You know what, Justin Fields, he has all the upside, I'll take him. And not even worry about going down this route where you mortgage your entire future for one player. I think the Texans, with how badly they've been run over the last few years, they need this trade more than the other teams need the trade. Like, the Texans need to get capital. They are such a depleted team that they need anything they can get. So I think the price will actually fall for Deshaun, and it'll be a lot more reasonable. And I think whatever team gets him will be happy with it, and they won't feel fleeced.
I think if it starts to fall and gets and more people get in, it's going to push right back up to where it's at. Because I think about Herschel Walker. He hadn't won anything either. And Dallas ended up winning 3 Super Bowls off of that trade. I really believe that someone is going to get – it's always – until you really start to see who the teams are and it becomes public, it stays like kind of stagnant. Then it just begins to snowball. And I think this thing is going to snowball because normally a quarterback of his caliber never comes free. And that's a possibility he's going to be free.
Yeah, I find it fascinating for sure, that aspect that a Deshaun becomes available once every 10 years. We've never really seen anything to this level recently, but I also find it fascinating that I'm going to bring up my least favorite human being in the world, Bruce Allen. He was so good at just like leaking fake things and manipulating everything and just stirring the pot constantly that I was just thinking, like, what would a Bruce Allen do in this situation if he was the GM or, you know, whatever of the Texans? Like, how would he get something done? And I don't feel like the Texans are doing enough of that, just like leaking fake teams and fake interest here and there. It just seems like their 4 teams have called and we want a ton for him. You have to say Washington has called. Why wouldn't Dan Snyder call? You have to just start leaking that stuff. Well, and so I was really just thinking about how funny it would be if he got involved. I think he would actually get the Texans a nice little haul.
I mean, to your point, I think it's time for Houston to start saying, yeah, we'll trade him, because I think you got to get the trade done before the draft, and I think there's some value in maybe even getting it done before free agency when teams start making other decisions.
Yeah. Especially because in the draft, you can have teams always love falling in love with quarterbacks. Like, Trey Lance can, you know, go way up the board. Mac Jones is the new hot QB. I was looking at a mock draft yesterday that had Mac Jones going 6th to Philadelphia. It's just, and, you know, you still have Carolina who has to take quarterback. You have the Jets who have to take quarterback. You have the Falcons who could take quarterback. So there's a ton of QBs that could go in the top 10 of this coming up draft. Dallas is still, who knows what they're doing. They're sitting at number 10. Dak's not under contract. So I think the Texans are pressed against time, but they're not acting like it.
Certainly not acting like it. I think Washington might be in on Russell Wilson more. I mean, we had Jason Lockenfora on the show saying Washington is monitoring the Seattle situation. That could be for Russ or for whatever dominoes fall in this thing. One name that kind of popped last week, and I had a source tell me flat out it wasn't going to happen, but I was curious your thoughts, because I went on NBC Sports Boston last night, and they brought me on for a segment to debate the better option for the Patriots week 1 quarterback between Alex Smith and Cam Newton. Clearly the Washington football team has made their decision on Alex Smith. What would you think of Cam Newton coming to D.C.?
We know that's a bad idea. Let's not even entertain that thought. He looked very, very, very bad at quarterback last year. I think we have enough Carolina influence on this team to last a lifetime at this point. And I always use this word. I don't even know if I use it correctly. I'm not a retread guy. I don't like guys that bounce around and can't really find a home. You know, he peaked. He was fantastic. MVP. I don't think that's who we want to put the trust at quarterback in on this team right now, just because of how good the defense is and how I really think this team is so close to getting to where we want to be, to where we've never seen this team in my entire lifetime. And I don't trust Cam Newton to take us there. I just do not.
How did it get there? I mean, so you think they're a quarterback away, or is it more than that?
Oh, yeah. Quarterback and bring in a wide receiver. We have the salary cap, to bring in one of those top flight wide receivers. We're drafting well. You know, Terry McLaurin's the best wide receiver of all time. We have Gibson. The offensive line, patchwork as it was, played pretty well last year. We need a linebacker, a little help in the secondary. I mean, we were, you know, 2 plays from beating Tom Brady and the Bucks in the playoffs. So I think this team is very close. Everybody's only getting better. Very young core on the defense. Let's get a quarterback who can come in and win games. That's not Cam Newton. That's not, you know, I don't even think like a Marcus Mariota is the guy. I think we need to either go huge at quarterback this year or next year, or we're risking wasting this young nucleus. And that would just be the worst thing that we could possibly ever do.
Well, and to that point, at some point, kind of the rent's going to come due with a lot of these young D linemen up front anyway, and you're going to have to figure
it out. It's going to start happening next year.
Right. And I think Chase Young is on a track to become the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. And if you're smart, you lock that in probably before his fourth season in the NFL. Just it's crazy to think about, but that's where this thing is headed. And it's just so tough because I think the football team, and this is based on conversations I've had with plenty of folks over there, they don't want to give too much away. They don't want to give draft capital away. They don't want to put themselves in a position where they're fighting out of a hole two seasons from now. But I think they also understand the severity of the situation with the defense they have and what it could possibly be. I do think, and I really think this year you focus on, if you can get the quarterback you want at the cost you're willing to do, do it. But otherwise, you just try to build everything else as good as you can.
Yeah.
And then maybe next year is your year for the QB. Because I just, unless Dak becomes available or something else, something unexpected happens, maybe Trey Lance falls or they think they can get Trey Lance at 15 or something. I just see a scenario where we're talking about Heinicke, Kyle Allen, and
somebody.
Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater or whatever it is.
But if you improve everything around it, I think those guys can look better than what they really are.
I agree. And B, we've both talked about it. The sample's incredibly small, but I am intrigued by Heinicke.
Yeah.
And maybe his ceiling is a good backup, but I'm at least intrigued.
I don't want to sound pessimistic, but that trio you just named doesn't inspire confidence in a team trying to win a Super Bowl. And that's where we need to be focused on is I don't think we should be focused on, are we good enough to win the NFC East? We need to be focused on, are we good enough to win a Super Bowl? And if Andy Dalton is taking snaps, my answer is no. My answer is no, we're not good enough to win a Super Bowl. And that's just as plain as we can be. Do we want to be good or do we want to be great? And how much will it cost to be great? I mean, Russell Wilson, let's give him everything. Deshaun, let's give him everything. Or you go half measure and you go Mitch Trubisky or Marcus Mariota or Teddy Bridgewater. And it's like, all right, I guess they know how to play quarterback. They definitely are a quarterback in the league. But do you win a Super Bowl with any of those three? I don't think so.
See, I think with that, you're in a position where if you go out and you get the quarterback that you feel can win the Super Bowl, you're going to lose some pieces that may be vital to winning a Super Bowl this year. That's why I don't believe they're just a quarterback away, because once you get a top-notch quarterback, you're going to lose some players, and you have to gain that. And I think it's much easier when you have better talent around the quarterback than having a great quarterback with nothing around it.
I still vote just give Houston everything they want for Deshaun and just go for it. That seems
that's
going to
be some starters.
But that's not you're saying that kind of joking, but I think there's a real mindset, give them what they want, get the quarterback you've got. Even if you're not giving them all the starters, right? Like, you're still going to have some of your players. I think there is a semi-legitimate thought process there, honestly.
I think I said this a couple weeks ago with you, is we've wasted so many first-round picks on bad quarterbacks that I have no problem giving up three first-round picks for a good quarterback. And that's just as simple as I can make it, is just instead of flushing these picks down the toilet like we were going to do anyway, get Deshaun Watson back for these picks and not have to worry about it. Like, we know what he is. He is an explosive, incredible QB who can be in DC for the next decade. Let's just do it. Let's do it now and not look back.
Hey, Nate, before we let you go, we're talking with Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Make sure you are following Nate on Twitter at Barstool Nate. I've noticed you've started tweeting a little bit about our Washington Wizards. You starting to get bullets fever up in New York?
Did you see what happened?
You tweeted about Beal and then they lost.
Yeah. The best player to ever wear a Wizards jersey, and then they just give away that winnable, easy winnable game against the Celtics. But that's the love of watching this team year after year, is you just lose games like that out of nowhere. No, they're a fun team. They've finally – Scottie Brooks fascinates me. I don't think he even wants to be an NBA head coach. He's just like the – I don't even know how to explain it. Like, he just sits there. Like, that's his coaching style, is I'm going to sit here and chill and watch a basketball game. Like, he's my favorite coach for that reason, but very frustrating to watch. They're a fun team. Bradley Beal is an incredible player. I really thought they were going to trade him when we started the season, you know, like 0-15. But they've really come around, become a fun team. Everybody's in a groove, and now they're watchable again. So I was wrong. I was wrong about them. We might be looking at a playoff team. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, you and plenty of others were wrong about them. You're not alone there. I mean, they were 6-17, and now they're 13-18 or something. They've gone on a really pretty
yeah, they have.
Incredible
I don't
run.
Think Brad's the issue, though.
No, they got another one tonight against the Grizzlies, 7 o'clock. I'll be watching. I'll probably be wagering. That's also made the Wizards a lot of fun, is they're a cover machine.
Oh, yeah. one quick question for you guys. Does Juan Soto get $500 million?
I kind of hope so.
If he stays along the lines that he is, yes.
When do they need to get a deal done for him? Like a year from now or 2 years from now?
I think it's after this season, but I think they're going to try to do what, you know, is the new hype in baseball, is just get the guy locked up before it goes. You know, baseball has all those weird rules about like contract
arbitration.
I don't even understand half of it, but I mean, just give him 15 years, $500 million right now. Give it to him yesterday. Give him the blank check and say, pick a number.
He is a Boris client, which generally is troubling. We'll see, though. Nate, thank you for joining us as always, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Nate.
Take care. Now, listen, if Deshaun Watson does come to D.C., he's going to need to buy a house.
Yes.
And you know who he should buy a house from? John Leahy. Do you have a friend who is having a hard time selling their home? Be a real friend and tell them about John Leahy, the agent who guarantees to sell their house.
Listen, Wanda was driving around and she saw a sign that read, buy this home and we'll buy yours. And reached out to John about moving up to her dream home like the Jefferson did. But with peace of mind, Wanda made an offer on her dream home. John energized his incredible marketing and sold Wanda's townhouse higher than she was expecting. And now Wanda is living in her dream house and loving it. John Leahy of Remax Fine Living tests the market with, like Wanda did with John's strategic marketing, to leverage the highest price for your home. And life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract anytime.
And here's the thing. The average house sits on the market for 69 days. John Leahy's homes, they're on the market for 24 days. That's nearly 3 times faster. John Leahy will sell your house. Call the agent I would trust to sell my home, my friend, John Leahy. Call John today, 301-651-4900, or go online, johnsellsdmv.com. That's johnsellsdmv.com, and start packing. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Obviously, things are getting busy. Quarterback market's heating up. But as of now, you heard John McClain there. Doesn't sound like Washington has called about Deshaun Watson. I think some fans are disappointed by this. I think some fans want to go all in for Deshaun Watson. What I can tell you is that I believe the Washington football team doesn't want to mortgage the future. We heard Martin Mayhew, Marty Herney, and Ron Rivera say as much. They are not looking to mortgage the future. And to me, 3 1s and 2 2s and 2 players could be mortgaging the future. I'm not saying that I agree with that decision or that mindset, but I'm saying that that is the mindset of the power brokers with the Washington football team, and I wouldn't expect that to change. If it was up to me, and you've got Deshaun, and you could really go get Deshaun Watson, I would strongly consider it. Here's where it changes for me, though. Mm-hmm. If I get into any sort of arms race with the Jets or the Dolphins, two teams that just have more draft capital now and for the next few years, it's a losing battle. And you shouldn't pick fights that you're going to lose.
But that is the thing. And I mentioned this in I think the first week we did the show. It's just like going to any little auction out there. You go in with a mindset, I'm not going to spend more than this. But once you get involved with it, pride takes over. You know, they don't want to keep getting into issues where they're going to keep losing. People don't decide to come here or whatever. And I believe in the situation where they had with that strength on the defensive side of the ball, if you were to get into this race, you're going to lose some of the strength that you have. And then I'll ask the question whether this team is in the position to move forward sooner rather than later.
It's going to be tricky. So listen, we're going to open the phones up now. 800-636-1067. AAA, always on call, listener line is open. Do you still want them to go after Deshaun Watson, who's a top five quarterback in the NFL? He's only 25 years old. He's a baller. He's the real deal. But at the price tag, it seems like Washington's going to sit this one out. Right call, wrong call. Could it change? We want your calls. 800-636-1067. Let's start. Chris in Maryland is on the line. Chris, what's going on, man?
Hey, yeah, thank you for taking my call. And you just mentioned it, like locking up somebody with a contract that's more than a few years makes sense, but who's going to sit out? What is locked up mean? You can't just get out. Yeah, I'd love to have Watson, but how are you going to hold on to him?
Well, he's under contract.
Yeah. If he just says, like he's got one now, he's locked up in Houston, but now we're dealing with this. What's to say that wouldn't happen? What does locked up mean? What can you count on? Thank you for taking my call. Love you, Brian Mitchell.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Chris.
I just don't think it's a 100% guarantee in any of those things. But I think, like John just stated, that major contract that he has doesn't kick in until 2022. And I think that's the reason he could pull his move right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's under contract through 2025.
Yeah, but the extension kicks in 2022. And I think if I'm about to make $40 million or whatever, $38 million 1 year, hard as hell to sit out from that.
It's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
It's a lot of calories. I think people might be misreading the situation. It's my understanding, Brian, and correct me where I'm wrong on this. I think his beef is with Houston. This isn't a contract thing. This isn't an injury thing. He's upset with things that were told to him by ownership that were since walked back. And I think that's why this has reached such a make or break point. I don't think this is about the word around the NFL is not that Deshaun Watson isn't a player you can trust and that these are the type of situations that could reemerge even after he's traded. I don't think that's the expectation.
I don't think it is. I think what happened in that situation, and I think everyone, if you just pay attention to when the owner, the original owner, now his son is running things, there was a lot of racial elements going on with that football team. Deshaun Watson at that moment had an issue with it, but he played good. Then they came to him knowing he was upset and knowing the importance of him to that area and their franchise. And they started talking to him, making these promises. And the last thing you want to do to someone that's already pissed off is give them an empty promise. And they've given empty promise after empty promise. And I think that's where the issues are falling with him. It's not that he doesn't like the team or like – he just don't trust them. And it's hard to not trust a person who has also had those racial elements that have been out there. You know, it's hard to trust that person that already shown you can't trust them, and then now they have that on top of it. It's going to be hard for him to play there. And I think they already know that he's gone, but they're going to try to get the absolute best that they can for him, and rightfully so.
Got to do that.
Yeah.
You got to do that. Let's take a couple more calls. We got Junior in Alexandria. Junior, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, JP? What's going on, B. Mitch?
What's
I
up,
met
man?
Brian Mitchell way back when I was 8 years old at RFK Stadium and Art Monk at Joe Gibbs' football camp. So it's good to hear you on radio. JP, you're awesome. I just want to say, be honest with you, like, I'm a Cowboy fan, so I'm not even going to hold you. But why don't the Washington football team go after Dak? You know what I'm saying? Because he's a free agent. And then the Cowboys go after Deshaun Watson. Because first and foremost, the Washington football team is not going to give up their defense. They're not going to give up Chase. They're not going to give up, you know what I'm saying, Sweat. They're not going to give up nobody that made them good. And because, you know, you guys won the, you know, division last year on some humbug because we sucked. I'm not even going to lie. When Dak got hurt, the division was wide open, and you guys won. But at the end of the day, you guys are going to get rid of Alex Smith once you go after a quarterback
that can do it. We can't go after Dak because Cowboys haven't released him.
Right. And nobody's a free agent
yet.
I don't
think Jerry ain't going to sign him.
Until Jerry makes his move, nobody's going to make a move with that.
Junior, do me a favor. March 9th is the franchise tag deadline. Call back on March 10th and let me know if Dak's really going to be a free agent. Will you do that?
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I got you. I don't think he's going to stay. I'll be honest, he's not going to stay.
Well, if he actually hits free agency, then I think
we'll talk.
Then things will go absolutely bananas. Thank you for the call, Junior. Let's go to Shaq in Glen Burnie. Shaq, what do you think about Deshaun Watson and the Washington football team?
I think we should go all in. But then, you know, then you have to worry about a quarterback for 10 to 12 years. You know, it's easy to, I think, I understand B-Man's talking about getting rid of the players, but other than Chase, I don't see nobody that's untouchable. And like I said, we don't have to worry about a quarterback for 10, 12 years and then go get players because we ain't been able to find a quarterback in 20 plus.
Thank you for the call, Shaq. Shaq is speaking facts. Finding a quarterback has been a problem.
It has been.
Interesting tweet here, B.
Yep.
You can follow me at JP Finley, NBCS. You can follow Brian at B Mitch Live, NBCS. This is from Todd J72. Because we've talked about Washington does not want to mortgage their future. They don't want to give up a ton of draft picks. I think they are willing to give up picks. We know they were in on the Stafford trade, but giving up a first rounder and giving up three first rounders is like a pizza versus a pizza with a Big Mac on top of it. They're very different. This is from Todd. Todd says, do you think Washington are thinking they may lose draft capital with the pending investigation results? That's an interesting kind of subplot to this thing. And I don't think it's crazy.
It's interesting, but truly, I don't think the football people right now have their minds on that.
I agree, and I don't think anybody knows what the potential repercussions could be from the investigation that's coming out. But it is an interesting thought process, and I don't think – I mean, is that not something – maybe not for Ron because he's the head coach, but he's also kind of the de facto boss, right? Maybe Rob Rogers, somebody over there maybe should be aware of that, right?
They should be.
Or at least have it on
the
radar.
Is there anything that would tell us what that repercussion may be?
First round,
second round, seventh round? If it's a seventh round pick, it's not involved in the Deshaun Watson deal anyway.
Right.
If it's anything other than a second or first round pick, it has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. So when we look at the history of the NFL, when they come back to punish people in that way because of things that are going on. I look at the Indianapolis Colts. I think that owner got fined $500,000 with all this stuff, with two people end up dead, and the prescription drugs and all that stuff. And I think they may have lost the draft pick. It wasn't super high.
I think the draft pick penalization has started to become more prominent, more regular in the last 5-6 years because I think teams got fined draft picks.
But how high has
COVID.
It been? What's been the highest draft pick? That's the question.
It's a good point. I would say third, I believe. I'm guessing. I don't think anybody's lost a first yet.
They'll be willing to give them a third right now, I'm sure, because they got two of them.
Sure, but that doesn't. But if you think you have two thirds and you know you're losing one, maybe that does impact your willingness to give up a second. I don't know. It's an interesting thought that I hadn't thought of.
It's a good thought, but I think ultimately, if Deshaun Watson is the person you want and you might lose a third, that's the last thing you're going to think about. I truly believe that.
I agree with you. If this is your guy, go get your guy and figure the rest of it out later. Listen, we got to take a quick break here, but we want to keep your calls coming in. 800-636-1067. Mitch, I see you on hold. We'll get to you as soon as we return. B. Mitch and Finley, we are back on 106.7 The Fan. In about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to the tremendous Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. B. Mitch, just what we were just talking about, though, somebody on Twitter actually posed that maybe Washington is hesitant to give up a ton of draft picks because there's some concern that the pending investigation could result in a loss of draft picks. And I got a text. I got a text from our boy CJ who said Bounty Gate with the Saints, they had to give up 2 second-round picks. And then if you remember Spygate and Deflategate with the Patriots, both of those controversies resulted in a first rounder being surrendered.
Okay.
So there is some precedent for high picks, but the more recent stuff, the COVID violations that resulted in draft picks being forfeited,
they haven't been that high.
Yeah, 6th, 7th rounders.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that is what is driving the decision-making as it comes to Washington's interest in Deshaun Watson, but it is an interesting little subplot. I really do think that it's something else to watch in what is going to just be a fascinating offseason.
Yeah, will be. But I really believe that Deshaun Watson deal is going to heat up as the draft well, if it doesn't do something once we see where all the free agent, the franchise tags and all going to be and when free agency start, when that draft gets closer, you're going to see those people that want quarterbacks that has capital start to make some moves.
I'm with you.
And if you don't have capital, you might want to get out of it.
I'm with you there. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Talking about if Washington should push all their chips in for Deshaun Watson. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Being safe. You know, if it's true, you think that if Washington's worried about their draft picks, we want to make the deal now. It's like getting money, and then you start spending, and then you find out it's not yours. You're going to want to spend it even quicker, right? That's what I was thinking. And maybe this commissioner can do something with what's going on in Houston, because you got to say Watson trading Hopkins for not even getting a first-round pick or a player that's going to last long. That's not going good for the NFL. This soap drama, the drama. I mean, they're releasing J.J. Watts. You got a new stadium. But what I was gonna say, I'd rather them get the best available player. It won't take a high draft choice. Maybe a third round pick for Sam Darnold. Might give a little more for Jimmy Garoppolo. You think those are two better options? You think? I know Watts is a great quarterback, but to give up all those picks, I think the longer Houston waits, I think that the price tag has to go down. What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
I don't know if
thanks
it's going
for the
down.
Call, Mitch.
I don't think that price is going down. We already know.
I don't either.
The two people that's involved, it's not going down. And I think if you're going to make a trade to get a quarterback and you're going to give up some picks, if you make your mind to give up picks, give up and get the right person. Don't give up picks and get somebody that you don't believe in.
Totally. I'm pretty on the record with how I feel about this stuff. I don't think you go after Darnold just because you think you have to get somebody. Just draft somebody.
Yeah.
Listen, rather than give up a third for Darnold, unless you think Darnold's the right guy, sure. But if you're just getting somebody to get him, draft somebody in the third round. I don't know, man. I can't. And I don't think Garoppolo's going anywhere. It's been pretty clear out of San Fran that they're keeping Jimmy unless they can get a sizable advantage.
Unless they get Deshaun, Jimmy is going to be there.
Right, or unless they get Dak or something.
Yeah.
And I just don't see any of those scenarios unfolding. Let's go to Tony in Sterling. Tony, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening, man?
What's happening?
You tell us.
Yes, I didn't know I was on. How you guys doing? Hey, I wouldn't do it, man. It's too much. Depending on what it is, but if what people are talking about, 3 first rounds and 2 second rounds and 2 players, you're going to be as bad as Houston, if not worse. You're going to be in their situation. What if you go like 7-9 and you just gave up everything? He had a great season, but he can't carry the team on his own. I wouldn't do it.
Thank you for the call, Tony. He's making it clear he would not do it.
Mm.
What about Dana in Virginia Beach? Dana, what do you think about Deshaun Watson?
Well, guys, right now we are not negotiating from a position of strength when it comes to the draft. Nobody's going to be interested in the 19th pick. So the best chance we have is by equaling things up. And the way that can happen is if the Texans drag this thing out to where they're going into next season and he's missing games. Now you look at that situation. Now we're in a position of strength, because where our strength comes from is our depth on the defensive line. So if you're looking at the 22, 23, and 24 first-round pick, now we're looking at our draft position is pretty much the same as everybody else, because nobody knows what the draft order is. So if we're offering a first round in 22, 23, 24, and some defensive line, now we might be at a position of strength instead of a position of weakness.
It's an interesting call, Dana. Thank you. I just don't think they wait. If I'm them, I'm getting the Jets or the Dolphins pick, and I'm getting a young quarterback,
get
and I'm getting a top five pick.
But it's a lot of stuff out there.
There's a lot of options, and I mean, maybe there's some thought that we're going to hold Deshaun Watson to his word, and we're going to see, you know, we'll get into a staring contest. How'd that go in Washington with Trent Williams? When you could have traded him before the draft and gotten a first, we all know that, and they ended up getting a third and a fifth later. How'd that go, B? Do you remember?
It didn't go well. For the home team.
I screamed about this last night on the podcast. Like, it was the era of bad decisions, and they largely stemmed from one person, and you don't want to replicate that.
But the thing he's saying, wait until next year, then we're coming from a position of strength.
They're not going to wait.
That doesn't – I mean, the other teams, if they have more strength now, they're going to have more strength later probably. If our players get even better for our team, it's hard to break up something you know that's already good.
Let's go to our guy Zach in Lynchburg. Zach is willing to push his chips in. Zach, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I would give up 4 first-round picks, and I wouldn't give up any of my players at all. I think you hold on to what you got, and if it takes draft picks, I mean, if we're trying to run for the Super Bowl anyway, those picks are just going to be later on in the first round anyways. It wouldn't really hurt as bad. Another comment, as far as the guy that was hitting you on Twitter, as far as losing draft picks for – you know, the things that are going on with Snyder and everything. I don't see where we would really get hit with draft picks, you know, or anything taken away from us. If you look at what happened with Kraft when he was caught in the massage parlor with that girl or whatever it was that happened, I don't think they just hit him with a fine, didn't they? They didn't take any picks.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the thought that draft picks could be included is just because of the period of time that the alleged, you know, misbehavior.
Yeah, I understand. But
unfolded.
If you look in the past, whenever picks have been taken or penalized from a team,
it was football.
It's because we were doing some kind of competitive advantage, you know, and nothing that we were doing or Snyder, you know, is being, you know, accused with gave us a competitive advantage, you know.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a good call, Zach. Thank you.
I think he makes a lot of sense, because you look at Bountygate and Spygate, they were both competitive things.
Sure. Deflategate.
What Kraft
maybe.
Did, and also what the what my man up there in Indianapolis did, was outside of competitive advantage. And I don't think they had any really problems with that.
Yeah, I mean,
it goes straight to the owner.
For sure. It's a good call. Listen, we got Steve Sands joining us next. Then we're going to get back to the phone lines. I got some audio from Mel Kiper we're going to play a little later in the show, B. There's one rookie quarterback Kiper thinks Washington could be in on that we haven't discussed at all.
Oh, really?
You want to hear that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we come back, 106.7 The Fan.